Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget, Joel Corey will join us in just about 20 minutes. Former sports agent, always has great intel about deals and extensions. So we will talk about the Terry extension with him coming up in just about 20 minutes. So we wanted to get into some audio here of RG3 talking about the alleged quarterback competition between Shedeur Sanders and Dillon Gabriel in Cleveland. Things are getting a little bit more clear now in Cleveland with Kenny Pickett getting traded to the Raiders. So that now they've got Flacco, Shedeur Sanders, and Dillon Gabriel. Here's RG3 talking about that, what he doesn't feel was a fair competition.
And make no mistakes about it. Yes, Shedeur Sanders was a fifth-round pick, but he ain't never been a fifth-round talent. That's why in his mind, he is saying, I can change a franchise if you give me the opportunity to. Right now, Cleveland is not doing that. I looked at the snap count chart. We'll throw that up for you guys on the screen. And people were saying, oh, he was playing with the same guys that Dillon Gabriel was. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. He was not. He was playing with the 3-4s and 5s offensive line. What? How many sacks did Shedeur have in the game?
More than 5.
No, he had 5.
He had five
sacks in the game, playing behind the 3-4 and 5 offensive line. 2 of those sacks, he held the ball too long. The other ones, he never had a chance. Wide receivers, did he play with the same wide receivers that Dillon Gabriel did?
No,
he didn't. When Shedeur Sanders was put out there with the proper talent around him, he excelled. 2 touchdowns, shined on the big stage. I know it was a preseason, but it was the most watched preseason game in over a decade. Shined. But when they put him out there with talent of guys that are not going to be on NFL rosters, that was the result. So when people say, hey, they're setting him up for failure, this is what they're talking about. I believe the Browns have good intentions for all the quarterbacks in their room. I don't believe that their execution of making it look like they had the best interest of everybody in the room was there. How can you get a proper assessment of Shedeur Sanders if you don't allow him to play with the same players that Dillon Gabriel played with?
Or even give him the same opportunity of like running the 2-minute drill at the end of the game.
Which is just, again, doesn't make sense. You set yourself up for that. So I say that in closing that I believe the Browns need to trade either Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders. Because right now, it's not about it not being fair for either guy. It's not a growth or leadership environment for either guy. And that makes it a bad, toxic situation around their quarterback conversation in the media.
Hmm. Kurt Warner made a very similar point online. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. What we don't know is what's happening in practice. And they drafted one guy in the 3rd round and one guy in the 5th round. So they hold one guy, at least going in higher regard than the other.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it was a way to kind of quell the expectations and just to have sort of the natural order of things, have Gabriel be the 2, Shedeur be the 3, and then let it kind of play out during the season, sort of behind closed doors.
Robert mentioned the 2 sacks where he held on to the ball. Mm-hmm. I know ESPN put the average time of release was almost 4.5 seconds. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to get rid of the ball faster than that in the NFL.
Two of them in particular, I remember, were insane.
It is kind of risky to have, the Browns season's going to be crap anyway, but it's kind of risky to have a rookie backup. Because if Flacco goes down, you've got a rookie playing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe Shedeur gets an opportunity if Flacco goes down, because then now he is the backup. And backups play all the time.
Maybe it was just their way of putting them in their place.
But look, you want a level playing field, but sometimes you can't have a level playing field.
Yeah, I don't think that they'd really care that much who's the 2 and the 3. But just let the natural order of things, let Dillon be 2 and Shedeur play 3. Just to see how it plays out.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, odds are that Dillon Gabriel will get the first crack once they start losing a bunch of games.
Yeah.
Look, they
because we don't expect Flacco to go on this winning streak.
No, he's they're in a brutal division, and they're starting Joe Flacco in week one.
Yeah.
They know how this season's going to kind of transpire.
What are they What are they projected to win? Like five games?
4.5, I think is the number. Yeah. 5.5, I think the highest number I've seen for
them. I could look, yeah.
Right.
It's going to be a brutal season in Cleveland.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, so I mean, after 6 weeks, then you probably toss the keys to Dylan Gabriel, see what he can do. If he struggles, then you give Shador a few games to see what he can do.
It's a tough situation. Look, we saw it when Kirk and RG3 were here, and you had that back and forth for a while. It's tough when you have two young guys who are drafted. That's why it usually doesn't happen. You don't have a team draft two quarterbacks.
Right. Yeah.
Look, they got absolutely bunged with the Deshaun Watson deal.
Yeah. Well,
all right. Bunged.
Well, they did that to themselves.
They did it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. And it wasn't just like
they made their bed.
Sure.
So
now they're paying for it.
They're paying for it.
Yeah.
Now maybe next year, if they have a bad year and they got the number one pick or two or three or whatever, they can draft another QB who they think is a legitimate franchise leader and not someone in the third or the fifth round.
Well, let me just say this.
Right now, that's the spot that they're in.
Regarding the Deshaun thing, correct me if I'm wrong. So from a moral perspective, like it was pretty reprehensible to give that guy all that guaranteed money, you know, ridiculous. And even though he hadn't played in like a couple years, I don't think anybody thought the drop-off would be as precipitous as it was.
No, people thought he'd be a top five quarterback.
Nobody thought he would just be god-awful.
Yeah.
Like, it's shocking how bad he's been.
He smashed into the wall.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he just couldn't play anymore.
It's wild.
I know.
Yeah. Like, I don't even understand
it's a fall
it.
From grace on and off the field for him.
It's wild.
I haven't paid attention to their sideline. Has he been on the field during games?
I mean, we've seen workout videos of him. I don't know if he's been at the facility. I guess he has been, right? Working out. I haven't seen the sideline stuff either.
I mean, he's generally on the sideline, like in street clothes.
He is? Okay.
Like in, you know, in like in Browns warm-up gear.
I mean, that's what I assumed. I just didn't know. I haven't watched any of the Browns
preseason
games.
One of the worst bungled picks or signings of the last, I don't know, 20 years.
Well, I think that's just that's all on Jimmy Haslam, right? Isn't that all on him?
Yeah.
That was kind of like his deal. So, look, Stefanski's got to try to eke out as many wins as he can, but I wouldn't be surprised if Flacco struggled early, if they went to Gabriel early. It could be way earlier than 6 weeks.
Oh,
could
be.
It could be, week two.
Yeah.
Week three.
It could be the second half of
could
the
game.
Could
be halftime of a game, But also, Flacco has shown an ability to get hot. So he could do okay.
So apparently Deshaun Watson has a quarterback's coach named Quincy Avery.
Well, he's the quarterback guru guy.
Yeah, and he tweeted out, you know why you should never trust media for player reviews? Because they had y'all thinking Dylan Gabriel was chopped liver and he couldn't see, and he'd been out there hooping.
Mm-hmm.
So he's praising Dylan Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. What's he saying about Deshaun?
Oh, Deshaun.
What's he saying about Deshaun? Nothing. That was just
I'm
about
trying
Dylan.
To look up Deshaun's news, and I just get stuff about his coach.
Yeah. Well, we saw the video of him.
And
like,
then he slammed RG3.
What did he say?
I guess, he's not saying, he's saying that Stefanski isn't derailing Shador Sanders' career.
Yeah.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who knows? It'll at some point with the bright lights in a regular season game, I do believe Shador will get an opportunity. How many opportunities? Who knows? May only be a couple, but I think he'll get an opportunity. But he's certainly going to have to do better than he did in the last preseason game. He's going to have to get rid of the ball. He can't force stuff. Take what they give you and move on. He certainly didn't do that in the last preseason game.
It's crazy though how far he fell. Given that Mel Kiper had him as his top quarterback.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I still think there's some potential there.
Did he have him ahead of Ward?
I think so.
Yeah. If you had him as top quarterback.
It's wild. What are people buzzing about Ward? What is the what are the early returns?
I saw Orlovsky on ESPN really praising him.
He was? Okay.
That's good. I don't know that he's done much in the preseason just for his general skill set and what he brings to the table.
I like his story.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm particularly excited to see him play.
By the way, is anybody taking a gander at the Browns' schedule?
What are they?
I saw they open with the Bengals.
They open with the Bengals. That's a home game.
I thought the Giants' opening schedule was brutal.
Right.
They open at home against the Bengals. Bengals should smack them around, I would think. Then they're at the Ravens in week two. That's an impossible place for them to win. Week three, they host the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
You think Jordan Love is going to carve them up?
Be hard to win there.
Week four, they're at the Lions. Mm-hmm. Tell me when you see a win in any of these games
for
the Browns.
Certainly on paper, they look bad.
Week five, they host the Vikings.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a possibility for a win.
JJ's struggling.
And week six, they're at the Steelers.
Yeah.
That has 0-6 or 1-5 written all over it.
What are the chances Flacco's still starting after those six games?
Well, if they're 0-5.
Yeah, zero.
I think you have to play Gabriel then, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although.
But the league is unpredictable. We're looking at it on paper.
I understand.
We didn't think the Patriots were going to beat the Bengals last year in week one.
Kind of makes me want to take the Bengals again as the week one survivor pick. But I don't know if I could cast our lot with them again in back-to-back years.
I think you almost have to.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's tantalizing, isn't it?
Look, they took the preseason a lot different this year.
Right.
Than they did in the last couple
years. And they're
years.
A more talented team.
Much more talented.
By the way, according to Mary Kay Cabot of the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Browns say that Watson is coming along well in his rehab from his retorn Achilles repair and could be ready to go later in the season. Whether or not they decide to activate him remains to be seen, but they're happy with how he's attacked his rehab and how he's helped other quarterbacks, especially Gabriel and Sanders.
I think the whole undercurrent has been he's never going to play a game in a Browns uniform ever again. Right. He's just going to collect all of his money.
Yeah.
And just be a major distraction on the sidelines.
Or maybe not play ever again in the league.
I mean, that's, I'm sure, is a possibility, too.
Is there a chance? I mean, how old is he? He can't even be 30. Is he probably maybe 31? I mean, he's got to be. He's still relatively young.
Would you want to take a chance on Deshaun Watson?
He's
29
years old. The guy was so good early on. For it to just disappear the way it did.
Yeah, years ago, so long ago.
I know.
His good years are so far in the rearview mirror.
I know.
I would say
but he might recapture it.
I just don't understand it.
I would say that if you were just kind of looking at the schedule for week one for a survivor pick, the Bengals jump off the page because of who they're playing.
I understand.
But they are dicey.
Right. Just given their history.
Given their history early in the season. But Zach Taylor treated this like a different preseason.
I mean, there's no way they're going to lose in week one to the Browns. I'm sorry.
We said that last year against the Patriots.
They're not.
I mean, back to Deshaun Eby, I'm a little intrigued. Now, I was duped by him. Everybody really was. But I remember being blown away one time where after the game, do you remember he went to the board and he described like where every receiver should have been? And he seemed to be a true student of the game.
Yeah,
and a lot of the analysts were impressed because they were like blown away. He was like, this is what I saw. And then he went through like five different things and was like, whoa, that guy's just athletically gifted, but he knows everything that's going on the field.
Yeah. Just to see him just lose it the way he did is what? Did he lose arm strength?
Well, he had a shoulder injury.
Maybe that's what it is.
He had an arm.
I mean, he definitely lost some of his mobility, too.
Yeah.
Like that was one of his hallmarks.
Yeah.
And
so, I mean, if he's physically limited like that, the arm's just never going to be the same. The mobility's never going to be the same. Well, then I wouldn't bet on it.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Joel Corey, former sports agent. We'll break down Terry McLaurin's extension with the Washington Commanders. We'll do that next. Bank local, cheer local. In business, every day is game day. Business is always moving up or down, but never still. That's why the Main Street Bank team treats every day like game day. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com. to learn how to put our team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, we share stories that are funny, strange, heartbreaking, and above all, true.
I myself have been married for 56 years. Unfortunately, to four different women.
It turns out the people I was looking for all my life is what you people would call nerds.
Follow and listen to The Moth on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.